You say you want a revolution. Well, you got one. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. I repeat, the revolution will not be televised. It will, however, be podcast. Thanks for being part of the 48%. Thanks for being here. You are not here by mistake. This is the right side of history. Let the revolution begin. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Because here in the club, we all fam.
We all fam, and we welcome our family in with open arms, as long as you act appropriately, all right? Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. We're very big on people behaving properly in the right manner, aren't we, Steve?
Sure, by our compass, which is generally the fun and awesome compass to go by when you were talking about behaviors. And as we head into the peak holiday season, there is a lot of debate over families and friends and who's getting together and who can be nice. And I did see a hilarious meme the other day that said something like, do racist families worry about the open-minded uncle coming over for the holidays, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, dude. I mean, we are, we're at a whole new level right now with families. We had kind of, I feel like, with Trump out of office, stumbled back into, you know, putting up with idiots and being okay. But that door has seemed to close for a lot of people here.
Oh, yeah. No, everything's emboldened and crazy. And yeah, get ready for the next 4 years. As I've been telling so many liberal or middle of the road type of buddies, friends, family, all that stuff, like, enjoy through the holidays, through the new year. Like, the world hasn't gone batshit crazy yet. It's probably about to, but that'll be mid to late January. So enjoy Christmas. Happy New Year. Enjoy all that.
Still your prediction, huh? I mean, it's still your prediction that we will implode, you know, late January.
Well, implode's a strong word. I don't know what the exact ramifications are going to be, but I see zero indication that Trump is backing off any of his promises and that somehow he's going to unite the country into harmony and peace.
Yeah. The only thing I think about is those people that are tired of the fight, and they are out there. That's part of this podcast, is we are inviting you to jump back into the game. We are the Vocal Minority. We are the resistance. We're going to hold people accountable, and we're going to do what we can on this end. And as we know, we're stronger in numbers.
Yes. Yeah, damn straight. Yeah, it is the resistance. The 48%, we are the Vocal Minority, and we're here for you. We're here to keep things going because, the people that are exhausted and bowing out, it's not the people on the right. It's not the people doing the victory dance, the sore winners.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. They're emboldened. They're going crazy. We take small victories, ladies and gentlemen, like the arrest of Nick Fuentes. I mean, some of these stories that just roll in and out of the news cycle. I think let me take a moment of silence to have quick victory in our hands, right? That we see some douchebags going down, and douchebags are still douchebags on some level.
Yeah, I know for sure. I mean, King Trump is going to get out of his accountability for everything. He's even trying to get out of the $600 million he owns for that E. Jean Carroll case. I don't know that he'll be successful, but I've thought that before and been epically wrong, so he may get out of everything. But his cronies, whether it's someone in his administration or someone that helped him hide documents or the Nick Fuentes of the world, just douchebag conservative talking heads on the internet, I don't know that they're escaping accountability.
Yeah, I think on some, they're lower level people. We'll still be able to hold them accountable. We'll see where all this goes. But join the resistance. Help us in the cause of keeping this country great, keeping a little moral compass in this country, if you will. And you made the first step by joining the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Always here for you. And plenty of socials out there.
Yes, we do. Find us on them. TikTok, YouTube, what's the other one? Reddit. Those are our big ones. We'll discuss TikTok momentarily, how long that's going to be around. But find us in all of them. We're also on Facebook, Threads, Instagram. And the other big new one for us and everyone else, Blue Sky. That thing is just blowing up and doing great for us. You know, we've got 10 times the followers that we did when we deleted our Twitter account a couple of weeks ago. So join us on Blue Sky.
I'm still waiting. I see some high profile people that are still on X. And I don't understand the resistance to just dropping the platform, you know?
I think for a lot of people, and it's understandable, if you've built up thousands or millions of followers, then it's tough to just walk away because it does take a long time to build these things up. But you just have to remember who's left on that platform. Because between our page and my lefty liberal page that I used to have on there, I mean, we had several thousand followers, but none of them were interacting with us anymore because none of them are there anymore. So it doesn't matter if your account says you have 10,000 or a million followers. It's only the mega people that are left trolling you or ignoring you.
Yeah, that's a great point. Is some people have walked away and actually closed the door. I think there's a lot of people that have just walked away. Their accounts are still there, but they're not, you know, engaging or even checking in on them. So,
yeah. I would encourage you, if you're going to dump Twitter, to do it correctly. Go to the settings, deactivate your account, and let them know you're officially gone. So, yeah, follow us on all those other ones. And we have a comment line as well.
Check it out. It's 844-48-VOCAL. You don't have to be live on the podcast. You can leave a comment. If it's good or bad, we'll play it on the show. If it's just neutral, you'll probably be ignored. But if it is good or bad, we will play it on the podcast, and we invite you in with open arms.
Yeah. And if you make it to our social media account for your voicemail, I'll make sure you come across as an attractive person. Okay.
Yeah, that is so funny, dude. Can I talk about this? Because we had somebody that called in last week. We played her on the show, and Steve uploaded that as one of our social media clips. He has a girl that is attractive, a young, attractive girl, like putting on makeup in the mirror. And I was like, why that? And he was like, because there's a lot of pervs out there that like to look at girls. So you watch, it's going to be huge. What's the verdict?
I don't know if it was huge or not, but it's an accurate representation. I mean, it's a girl on FaceTime and she's putting on makeup. Like, that's not weird.
So misogynistic, dude. Like, just girls are putting on makeup, talking on the phone, writing love letters. Come on.
Are you going to say it's inaccurate? I'm not going to say every single girl does it, but good grief, the number of videos I see online of just girls doing makeup and talking about whatever. It's the trick. They're doing multiple things to keep your attention in there. They're smart, you know?
I get it. Well, anyway, call our comment line 844-48-VOCAL. Lots of news to get to today, so we'll bust right down. The news door is now open.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness.
News. Hi, news. How are you? News cycle continues to go fast and furious like Vin Diesel, I tell you. It's been hard to keep up, but here we go. Okay. All right. Now, as always, we start off the show talking about social media. That is where the bulk of the fun is. I mean, we truly appreciate those of you that listen to this full-form podcast, and more of you are. But there is 10 times, if not 100 times, the people watching all of our social media clips and commenting. You know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, our three biggest platforms are YouTube. Reddit, by far, is our biggest. YouTube does okay for us, and then TikTok. And we've been commenting on this for the last couple of months, particularly when Trump appointed his new head of the FCC, who was one of the Project 2025 authors, who said in his little chapter that TikTok should be banned. And it didn't seem to be getting much attention. Those videos weren't getting very many views or comments. But all of a sudden now everyone's worried because the latest news has come out. And this is a few days old, but it's going to lead into our discussion here. And that's the fact that we've been kind of holding out for the courts to step in and stop this whole law that's going to ban TikTok because it's owned by a Chinese company that apparently could do nefarious things, yet no one has shown any of us proof that they are. And, you know, the ACLU is on our side saying that you can't just go banning social media platforms. I mean, first of all, there is a First Amendment freedom of speech issue. People use it to put out their own news and content, investigative journalism, busting corrupt officials and whatnot. Like, there's legitimate issues here. And the ACLU is saying, like, I don't think this is going to hold up in a court of law. But so far, it's holding up in a court of law. So a couple of days ago, federal appeals court upholds the law that could ban TikTok. Says the platform could soon be unavailable in the U.S. A panel of three federal appeals court judges ruled unanimously, that the TikTok ban can go into effect. The legislation was passed last April by Congress, signed into law by Biden, set to go in effect on January 19th, which would be Biden's last day in office. In a majority opinion, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, the circuit court said, quote, "We recognize this decision has significant implications for TikTok and its users." Yeah. If the platform does not divest, the court said it will, quote, effectively be unavailable in the United States, at least for a time. Consequently, TikTok's millions of users will need to find alternative media for communication. And this is the problem we're dealing with. A couple of things here. First of all, obviously, we all have other social media platforms we can use. That's not the point. There's something special about TikTok. There's a special community there, a special algorithm that no one else has figured out. So it's not that we just need to go find another platform. But A, what platform are we all going to? Because no one seems to like the reels on Facebook or shorts on YouTube. And I'm also sick of major influencers with millions of followers saying, like, go find me on YouTube, or find me somewhere else. Some of us up-and-coming content creators don't have that sway to tell our 11,000 followers and expect them to all find us somewhere new.
Well, and that's the thing you wonder. I mean, if they like us enough, will they? We already worked damn hard to get them to click the friend button once. And you're worried about them clicking it twice or going somewhere else and clicking a button again. What would you say the percentage would be that would go do that?
Well, people are inherently lazy. So, no, I don't think people are going to go search us out. I think, let's say, okay, so we got 11,000 followers right now on TikTok, for example. I would bet, I don't know, 20% will automatically, they like us, they'll go find us. But that takes our 11,000 down to about 2,000.
Right. Which,
you know, is something, but it's not nothing. And then I guess as people start to see us again on the feed, they'll go, oh, hey, the Vulcan Mai, I forgot about those guys. And then they'll click. But to expect that all 11,000, we're not, you know, freaking Oprah or somebody that's got that kind of clout. So, yeah, it's going to hurt us. And we're finally at a monetization level on TikTok. That will knock us down below that threshold immediately.
Well, and you always wonder, not only that, yeah, we're clear for takeoff, we're clear for monetization now, but will lawsuits, if TikTok does get shut down, I can't imagine that lawsuits wouldn't happen with, well, this is like a building that I have built for 10 years and, you know, it's 50% done and now you're just going to shut the project down and I'm just out $0. I can't use anything I've built. Should I get some money for that?
No. There's already a class action lawsuit that TikTok is helping to fund, and it's a bunch of content creators making that point of, like, we got an active business going here. We're making money. We're paying taxes on it. And I saw some report that said, you know, if you just blow up TikTok, you're going to take $1 billion out of our economy that's right. being commerced right now through the TikTok shop, through all of these live, you know, monetizations and donations and view, like, that money's not just going to transfer over instantly anywhere, if at all. So, yeah, I mean, that's a huge freaking blow to the economy. And real humans making actual money off of this.
Well, and now are all those people going to need even temporary services as unemployment? You know, like that money's going to have to come back into the system from somewhere.
Yes. And that's what's unique about TikTok. The other platforms don't offer the monetization like TikTok does for the shop and for individuals that aren't, you know, have a huge platform that if your videos take off, if you can build the viewership, you can actually make money on the platform. And the others really don't offer that. And other people, by the way, for years have been trying to clone TikTok and no one's figured it out as of yet. So I have a hard time believing that someone's just going to magically do it.
Well, it'd be interesting, you know, like we saw this whole thing go down with people jumping off X and then the guy who basically set up Twitter opens Blue Sky. Will there be someone from the TikTok platform that just takes this formula and calls it Dookie, you know, and starts something else? You wonder.
I mean, the market is primed for that, but you would have to do it like now and then you got to get the word out because everyone on TikTok is talking about where are we all going and there doesn't seem to be a great answer. You and I were talking about this Lemonade thing that people are trying to say is going to merge with TikTok and you can transfer your followers over. But that's a TikTok rumor. I don't know what is true or not because that's the problem with social media in general.
completely. I've also heard people talking about the fact that you, don't worry about it. Like, you can just change your app settings to Canada, and then you'll be able to download the app and still operate, still see everything, keep all your people. I don't know that that's true either, but there's a lot of rumor running around the TikTok world.
Yeah, listen, TikTok will definitely keep existing outside of America. So could you do some rig, some hack to fool your, you know, your IP address to another country? Sure, I bet you can. But will the masses do that? Will the 180 million or whatever it is, like half of America that's on TikTok, are they going to jump through that hoop?
Well, that's a good example of that. My mom's on TikTok. Only because, like, I send her stuff that I want her to see that I know she'll find funny or whatever. So she's on TikTok. She doesn't post or anything like that, but she's there to watch videos, and she wouldn't go through any of that, you know? Yeah. So you'd have to think that there would be a large percentage of the population of TikTok that that wouldn't go do that.
Right. It's also my understanding that even if on January 19th this goes into effect, you and I can still log on to TikTok. We all can. It's already on our phones. We already have it. The law says that the app stores will no longer be able to provide it or support it or update it. So if you want to be new to TikTok, or if you want to get an update to the app, then you're out of luck. But we're all going to be on it. So there's going to be some window there where we're all just going to keep going. Will updates screw us down the road or something? Like, maybe. But they can't just delete it off all our phones. They can't just blow up the U.S. servers.
That's interesting, because I wasn't aware of that. And they don't have anything that they can do like, you know, Texas with the whole porn thing. Now you got to log in and show your ID and all that kind of shit. Won't they be able to do something like that with TikTok to stop videos from playing?
It's a great question. That would be additional legislation on top of what's already going on, which brings me to the point of all of this. So we're not out of luck yet, but now all of our hopes are resting on Donald Trump and or Trump's Supreme Court, which my stomach just turned in knots telling, you know, saying that out loud, that all we got to do is put our faith in Donald Trump or his Supreme Court. Like, oh, good God. Is that what it's come to?
Yes, that's exactly what it's come to. For those who don't know, you know, Donald Trump said a long time ago, get rid of TikTok. And then he met with somebody who is big at TikTok, and they gave him a bunch of money for his campaign, I believe. And then he was like, TikTok's great. TikTok's wonderful. We love TikTok.
Yes. You know, here's the thing. Trump is always influenced by the last person he talks to. We've known that for years. And as of right now, he seems to be a fan of TikTok. He said on the campaign trail he would save TikTok. He has joined TikTok. He's touting his success on there with all of his followers and the youth that are enjoying him and all that. So, yeah, the question is, will Trump save TikTok? Or when this does go to the Supreme Court, because now that the appeals court has ruled, that's the next stop. Will Trump's Supreme Court strike down the law? I don't know. But now that Trump is the president-elect, he's just done his first full interview with, of all places, NBC. I thought they were fake news or something, but he decided to go there and do an interview. And Kirsten Welker asked him this question, and I was eagerly waiting to hear what he was going to say.
You want to hear it?
I do, so we can dissect it. So what did Trump say when asked if he'll save TikTok?
I will say this. If you do that, something else is going to come along and take its place. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's not fair. And really what the judge actually said was that you can't have Chinese companies. In other words, they have the right to ban it if you can prove that the Chinese companies own it. That's what the judge asked.
So are you going to try to protect TikTok just very quick once you're in office?
I'm going to try and make it so that other companies don't become an even bigger monopoly.
Okay.
Because that's what happens.
That is not a very clear answer at all.
No. No. And I don't even think, I mean, his answer about the judges saying if they can prove it's owned by the China, like, yeah, we can already prove that, dude. ByteDance is right there. So,
yes, this is one of many topics that I don't think he's read about it or been versed about it, or he's just been hearing things. Because, yeah, what he just said right there is factually wrong. It's extremely well established that a Chinese company does own it. That's not the question. The law says that it has to be divested from that, and that we would be forcing ByteDance to sell it to an American company, which right there is a very un-American principle. You know, we like your company, so we're going to force you to sell it to an American company. Like, this is one of the reasons I didn't think it was going to hold up in court, but so far it is. So, He's wrong there. He's also wrong in the soul. Something else will just come along and replace it. As we just talked about, people have been trying to do that for years at this point. No one's figured it out. So I see no reason why just all of a sudden somebody would. And then his final assertion of we want to make sure we can protect other companies. Like, none of this has anything to do with this actual law. The question was, are you going to stop the law that's going into effect? And he did not answer that, but could have very easily. So that makes me very nervous.
Yeah, it makes me nervous, too. In fact, you know, I wonder if a lot of people feel this way. But at this point in time, I feel like when we talk about the Supreme Court of the United States, I feel like we're still just talking about Donald Trump, right? Because I feel like, you know, he's going to make the decision one way or another, whether it goes through them or not. It'll be the same decision he makes. And I would think 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, probably. And listen, the current Supreme Court seems willing to bend to corporations. I mean, they've lessened restrictions and whatnot on, you know, EPA standards, trading standards, all this stuff that's been very pro-business. So I do have a small glimmer of hope that they may say, like, no, this would be anti-business if we didn't, you know, if we let this law go into effect. But they're also staunchly, you know, the Red Scare, communism, all that stuff. I'm afraid that that's going to be the knee-jerk reaction. And yeah, the Department of Justice does not have to enforce any given law. It's why marijuana is allowed to be legal in states across this country. It's illegal federally, but, you know, under Obama, under the first Trump, under Biden, they just told the DOJ, we're not enforcing that law. So therefore, it's almost as if it doesn't exist.
Right. Dude, I don't have, let me be real honest with you right now. I don't have a lot of faith in Trump keeping TikTok around. Unless it somehow personally benefits him. So if they're willing to make another donation on some level to Trump, like he may kind of string this along for another year. We'll look at appeals. We'll do this and kind of string it down the road. But I don't think he's just going to jump out and save TikTok, because I think that he feels like he knows enough people, maybe himself with Truth Social. Maybe he feels like, you know what, I shut TikTok down. Now my people have the ability to create the new TikTok. Right. It has to personally benefit him on some level, or it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. The only thing Trump cares about is the reflection in the mirror. So yeah, if TikTok can stroke his ego, line his pockets, if Truth Social thinks they can somehow be the new TikTok, but again, no one has been able to replicate the algorithm. So that's the big problem. And yeah, Trump is surrounded by people like Elon Musk, who would love if TikTok went away. Like I said, his new head of the FCC wants TikTok to go away. So he seems to be surrounding himself with people saying, like, let TikTok die. My glimmer of hope is what he said in that interview. The first part of that answer was him talking about how, you know, I did huge numbers on TikTok. Okay, so focus on that. That youth vote is going to be pissed off if you let TikTok die. So maybe that appeal to his vanity will help him keep TikTok alive. And by the way, this is a day one thing. He doesn't have the option to just deal with this in 6 months or a year. He does have the option to grant an immediate 90-day extension on all this. So he could on day one buy himself 3 months to work all this out. We all get to keep playing with TikTok in the meantime. So that's certainly my hope, that that is his first step. But again, pinning my freaking hopes on Donald Trump, when does that ever let me down?
No, I don't think those are good chances. I feel the same way. Here's a question for you. Do you feel if TikTok was gone? Now, let's take Vocal Minority off the table for a minute. Let's just focus on Steve Harness. If TikTok leaves, do you feel like your life will be better, worse, or the same?
Well, you can't take the show out of it because it all is intertwined. Like, listen, I'd get a lot of hours of my life back if I wasn't posting and commenting and replying and editing, blah, 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 blah. Personally, I'm not on TikTok. So personally, I don't know if I care. But I do use our account to do my own personal surfing. So there is some source of entertainment that would go away. Yeah,
sure.
For sure.
Yeah. What about somebody your son's age? I mean, will they be devastated by the fact TikTok's gone?
They're going to be bummed for sure, because it is its own community and whatnot. But anyone who's just on it for social stuff, for having fun, the same videos ultimately are going to be on the other platforms, so you can probably go find it. It's not going to be the exact same, and how things unfold going down the road is going to be different, but Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my girlfriend, that's her main social media, that and Reddit. And I know she'll be bummed because she, like you and I, spends probably a little too much time, you know, surfing videos and dipping coffee in the morning or whatever. And
sure.
Yeah, that'll suck to have it go away.
Yeah, we'll have to see, dude. I mean, Trump did talk about all the youth. He thinks that was what was responsible for the youth voting for him, the numbers being so large in this election for him. So if they're all pissed off, they have other things they're going to be pissed off about that he did promise. Because when you talk about Trump promises made, promises kept, like some of those are going to be like mass deportation, closing the border, some of those. But there were other promises made that he's not going to be able to deliver on, such as gas prices going down. It's going to be so cheap. You know, you're going to piss gas and not worry about it. There's a lot of stuff, prices going down, homes being easier to buy. There's a lot of that stuff that he's not going to be able to keep those promises. So he's got to keep them somewhere if he wants to keep those youth stoked on him.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. You know, presidents can only control so much out there. It's always a myth that they can control gas prices. But yeah, he can control TikTok being banned. So maybe he'll be smart enough to take the easy win. Like, I'm going to protect TikTok, and then maybe you won't notice when eggs go up and gas doesn't go down.
Right.
So, again, that ties to his vanity. So that is our best hope, that this will somehow affect him and he will feel the need to keep it alive. So we'll see. But in the meantime, I would encourage everyone on TikTok, like, let's all keep discussing where we might be going. And it needs to be somewhere we can migrate our followers, not have to start over.
Yes, 100%. Because even on a personal level, like all the people that I have followed personally for my entertainment, like to find those people again, I can't do it. You know, I'm not going to go look at who I'm following and take screenshots and go find them somewhere else. I'm not. No. So it's going to be a lot of work for people that just have a great for you page going, algorithms playing stuff they want to see. Like, it's going to suck for them too.
Yeah, no, it's going to have a lot of consequences. But well, all right, in that interview, other things were discussed as well that are probably more important than TikTok.
More so. Important than TikTok, yeah.
Probably get to those now too.
All right. Well, like Steve said, yeah, he did sit down with Kristen Walker. I mean, I like her. I should say I'm kind of right down the middle on her. I think she does try and ask some questions. Well, she asks questions we know she's going to ask, but when she doesn't get the answer, she does kind of gnaw on the bone and keep going and wanting to know. So a couple of things that I pulled from this interview that I thought were either interesting, important, or hilarious, I'll play for you now. There was a lot of talk about the border and what he's going to do there. He recently sat down with Justin Trudeau and the president of Mexico. This is a little comment on those conversations that he had and what the results were.
Tariffs are going to make our country safe.
Are you actually going to impose these tariffs, or are they a negotiating tactic?
Well, I'll give you an example. With Canada, and in particular Mexico, we have millions of people pouring into our country. You agree with that. I spoke with Justin Trudeau. In fact, he flew to Mar-a-Lago within about 15 seconds after the call ended.
Yeah. Wow.
And I said to the president of Mexico and to Justin Trudeau, if it doesn't stop, I'm going to put tariffs on your country at about 25%. That's a very, very substantial tariff. And in the case of, in both cases, but in the case where it was really visible, within 10 minutes after that phone call, we noticed that the people coming across the border, the southern border, having to do with Mexico, they were at a trickle. In fact, I call the border. See, unlike my opponent, I do call the border a lot. And I said, how's the border looking today? They said, there's nobody here. They couldn't believe it.
Sir, this is a Taco Bell. I don't know why you're asking. People don't, I know people run for the border. That's just a marketing slogan here.
Yeah.
I call the border to check in on them.
Unlike other people, I call the border often. Like, but it was just fascinating to me that's the kind of shit that makes me not be able to take anything he says seriously. 10 minutes after that conversation, they started to see a trickle at the southern border, and I called the border and they said, sir, it's empty. No one's here.
10 wow.
This whole conversation makes my freaking head hurt. Okay, yes, you're right. It's hard to take him seriously when he says crap like this. So you had a closed door meeting with a world leader that was not like broadcast live right. on the internet, but within 10 minutes of that conversation in Mar-a-Lago, I called the border and it seems like no one's coming in.
No one's there.
Why would you say things like that? Like, you almost started off with some intelligence there. Like, we had a meeting about the border. We discussed this and that. And then you call the border, and within 10 minutes, people have stopped. Everyone turned around and went back to Central America because they
and there's no one here, sir. It's incredible. And I mean, he started out, the first thing he said was, you know, after he hung up the phone, Justin Trudeau was at Mar-a-Lago in 15 seconds. Like, I kind of get that he's making a case for, like, he came very quick, you know. But then when he goes on to say 10 minutes and no one was at the border anymore, like, you're lying about everything.
Of course. How easy this is to solve. Who knew?
Yes.
But and also, I love the thing where he was like, you know, we got millions of people flooding across the border. I'm sure you agree. I hate it when he does stuff like that, you know.
Oh, and he keeps talking, so she can't be like, no, I don't agree with that. And he did it all throughout this interview. I'm sure you agree. I know you agree with that.
Right. So, first of all, there's not millions of people flooding in from Canada. And if there are, let them come, because I don't know why they'd want to leave their country, but... He gave no rationale for why he would be putting tariffs on Canada there if this is an immigration issue. And I saw one of his dipshit kids on some news channel talking about how tariffs are going to help with fentanyl, as if fentanyl is being smuggled into this country in a system that can be tariffed. And by the way, most of the illegal fentanyl is coming from China, not Mexico.
Well, he did make comment on that to say that he had talked with Xi, you know, when he was in office the first time, and they, you know, were going to agree to give anyone who brought fentanyl into the United States the death penalty. But they just hadn't dotted the I's and crossed the T before he left, you know, or before he left. So he's going to get that done, too. But he did claim that we do have a problem with our northern border of people coming in and a lot of drugs coming in from Canada. And I don't know. I haven't seen any evidence of that.
I mean, there's a lot of black market maple syrup in my neighborhood. I can buy it on the corner of any street around here. So maybe that's what he's talking about.
I live in a border state. I mean, I don't see people just coming down here like crazy. So, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. But Justin Trudeau showed up in 15 seconds, and then 10 minutes later, the border just was empty.
I called the border.
Unlike other people, I call the border. Wow. Yeah, okay. They talked a lot about some of mass immigration and people coming in and murderers. You know, he's always said that people are emptying their prisons and their insane asylums into our country. He gave a number of 13,099. Kristen Walker did fact check him on this live during the interview. I mean, it didn't do anything because he just kept going with it. But she asked him about that number of murderers walking our streets.
13,099 murderers released into our country over the last 3 years. They're walking down the streets. They're walking next to you and your family. And they're very dangerous.
The 13,000 figure, I think, goes back about 40 years.
No, it doesn't. No, it's within the three-year period. It's during the Biden term. No, that was a fiction that they put that out. This was done by the Border Patrol. It's 13,099, and it's during the Biden period of time. And these are murderers, many of whom murdered more than one person, convicted murders. We don't mean people that are even on trial. We have people that have murdered numerous people are on our streets and in our farms, and we have to get them out of our country.
Well, first of all, dude, if they're convicted, like, they're not on our streets.
Right. You know? Murder's illegal, whether you're a legal resident or not. So, yes, they've been convicted, and we're just letting them wander the streets. Although, apparently, they're not killing anymore if they're just wandering the street next to you. So, that's nice.
That number of the 13,099 does go back several years. And it also includes the people that have been convicted and are sitting in federal penitentiaries. So he's lying to you once again. He's trying to scare you. They're not walking the streets. They're not walking next to your family. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Convicted of murder, they're walking next to you and your family. They're not.
No. And of course, some percentage of any group of people are murderers or rapists or whatever. There's plenty of white Caucasian murderers wandering the streets waiting for their next victim, as we just saw in New York City. That's a different story, but, you know, it's it's a little comical. And listen, on one level, I give Kirsten Welker a little credit for trying to push back, but it's such a cute notion to think that fact-checking any of this will matter to anyone, especially to Trump. We've just emboldened his little bubble that he lives in, the fact-free world he exists in.
Yes, 100%. Those are numbers from the border. The Border Patrol did that. You got a lot going on at the border that I didn't even know was possible. Like, how do they know how many murderers are here? They work at the border, dude. The murders didn't happen at the border. What are you talking about?
No, they checked that box when they came across the border illegally.
Have you ever murdered anyone? Do you intend on murdering anyone? He did. They did continue to talk about the mass deportations. There was one glimmer of hope that I've been worried about, and I'm sure a lot of people have. But she asked him about the Dreamers and what his intentions were to do with the Dreamers. And once again, the answer's a little unclear, but there's a little glimmer of hope in what he says here about deporting Dreamers.
What about Dreamers, sir? Dreamers who were brought to this country illegally as children. You said once back in 2017, they, quote, shouldn't be very worried about being deported. Should they be worried now?
The Dreamers are going to come later, and we have to do something about the Dreamers, because these are people that have been brought here at a very young age, and many of these are middle-aged people now. They don't even speak the language of their country. And yes, we're going to do something about the Dreamers.
What does that mean?
And
what are you going to do?
I will work with the Democrats on a plan, and if we can come up with a plan. But the Democrats have made it very, very difficult to do anything. Republicans are very open to the Dreamers. The Dreamers, we're talking many years ago, they were brought into this country. Many years ago. Some of them are no longer young people. And in many cases, they become successful. They have great jobs. In some cases, they have small businesses. Some cases, they might have large businesses. And we're going to have to do something with them.
You want them to be able to stay. That's what you're saying.
I do. Okay. I want to be able to work something out.
Well, I mean, bullshit. I think it's already worked out. I mean, you don't have to do anything. It's already kind of worked out, right?
Yeah, just keep the program. Listen, he tried to undo it in his first term. It was the courts that slowed him down, and then the clock ran out on his first term. So, A, he's already tried, so I don't see why he wouldn't do it again. B, the way he phrased that, like, they'll come later. How I interpreted that is, obviously, they're going to go after any illegal immigrant that's got some criminal record that they know where to find. Like, that's the low-hanging, easy fruit. None of us are against deporting, you know, felons or whatever if they're here illegally. Then he'll move on to the family, to the birthright citizenship. Like, he's going to start with the easy stuff and then work his way into the harder stuff. And the Dreamers will, of course, be in the harder stuff category. And I don't know why he would be saying that he wants them to be able to stay. But in the same interview, I don't know if you have the clip, but he said that, you know, he wants to end birthright citizenship. And that if your parents are here illegally, but you were born here legally, I'm going to deport all of you together. That way I'm not separating families and looking like the bad guy. So why would he end birthright citizenship but keep the Dreamer program going?
It's an interesting question because, yes, his border czar said we won't be separating families. We'll send them all back together. He did clarify in the interview, and I don't have the clip. He said, you know what? They're going to have the option because I am not going to be barbaric and split families up. So if someone is here, if the dad's an illegal and the mom is legal and the kids are legal, then they can have the option to stay or they can go home with the father. It's, you know, so they're not going to separate anyone is what he's saying. So if you're not willing to leave some of your family behind, well, we'll just send you all back together.
Well, it's very nice. He's offering a free ticket so you can go home with your parents. Or go back to the country of origin, not your home, because that's America.
Yes. The last thing that I'll talk to you about, Harness, is healthcare. I mean, it's a big thing on a lot of people's minds and what he will do. We know his first term that he was dead set on getting rid of Obamacare. I should call it the Affordable Care Act because he named it Obamacare, you know, so This is funny that a large portion of the Republican Party thinks the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare are two different things.
They do. I don't know if he named it Obamacare. I thought that came out in the Obama era, but regardless.
He calls it Obamacare because he wants to know you to know where it came from. And Barack Hussein Obama is a terrible person. So Obamacare couldn't be good, right?
Yes. No, multiple surveys, people have been asked, do you like Obamacare? No. Do you like the Affordable Care Act? Oh, yes, I like that.
Same thing. Same exact thing. Just, it's a candy bar and Snickers. They're both the same thing, okay? Kristen asked him about his health care plan. He had concepts of a plan. Yeah. Wanted to know where that's going.
Sir, you said during the campaign you had concepts of a plan. Do you have an actual plan at this point for health care?
Yes, we have concepts of a plan that would be better.
Do you have a fully developed plan?
Let me explain. We have the biggest healthcare companies looking at it. We have doctors. We're always looking because Obamacare stinks. It's lousy. There are better answers. If we come up with a better answer, I would present that answer to Democrats and to everybody else, and I do something about it.
In your concepts of a plan, sir, will people with pre-existing conditions still have coverage? And can you guarantee their prices will not go up?
The answer is yes. They'll have coverage. You have to have it.
And what about their
prices? Because you know what?
About their prices, sir?
I want the prices to go down. I want to have better health.
I don't think that he answers again without answering.
Of course. And he's giving a fantasy answer. We've got all the best people looking at this. You've been looking since 2008 and no one has come up with a plan because there are realities in your way. You have to, if you're going to allow pre-existing conditions, that means you have to have universal coverage. Because the healthy have to offset the not healthy. You can't keep universal coverage in place and take away some of these things. They all have to go together. So
we got to pay for each other.
Right. So I don't know what your concept of a plan is, how somehow this would be more affordable and cover more. Those things, it's going to cost less and cover more. No one has been able to figure that out because that's not how the marketplace works. So this is the best version of a plan. Short of universal coverage, which is really what the country should be doing. It's what almost every other modern country does on this planet. But we're stuck in this healthcare system. And yeah, so he's full of shit with all of those answers. He knows the reality is Obamacare is what it is because those are the elements you have to have in place to keep the system functioning.
I don't think a lot of people who have not invested themselves into this story over the years understand that Obama getting that done was unbelievable to this country because they've been trying to do something like it for many, many, many decades. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he got it done for somebody who has been denied coverage because of a pre-existing condition, it was a godsend, dude. And I'm not alone. That's a large portion of our country who has a pre-existing condition. So can we continue to build off this foundation and make it better? Yes. But you wanting to do away with something so you can make Trump care, and you found out last time it can't be done. And you're not going to get it done this time. So why don't you just try and build on what's already there if you think you can do anything at all and quit freaking everybody out who needs medications, who needs health care that have pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. And insurance still costs an arm and a leg. I have health insurance through Obamacare, through the Affordable Care Marketplace, but it's still insanely expensive. Yeah, Trump could. I guess the best case scenario for all of us is that he says he's going to gut Obamacare. He simply tweaks it and now calls it Trump Care just for his vanity again and realizing there is no better alternative. Or, I mean, if Trump's going to shake up the snow globe like he keeps claiming, just gut government and reshape it all, then fine, go to single payer or universal health care. Mm. You either have to tweak Obamacare or just blow it up and go to the whole next level like most European countries do. And that would be the ideal scenario. I am sick of paying out the nose for health insurance and medical debt, ruining people's credit scores and abilities to rent homes and lease a car or whatever, get approved for loans. Like, it's a nightmare of a system that we have here.
Is your insurance premium very high right now?
Yeah. I'm paying almost $1,000 a month just for myself.
Yeah. See, that's crazy shit, dude. When I had Obamacare, and I did have it for maybe 3 years, first of all, I found that it was good coverage, but I was paying like $280 a month. So, but I've heard a lot of people that talk like you do, that are upwards of $1,000 or even more if they're insuring their family through Obamacare. So, yeah, there's definitely problems with it.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, in the divorce, 50-50 custody, I'm insuring one of the kids and she's insuring the other. And, you know, yeah. So with me and the kid, it is north of $1,000 a month. And by the way, it's not Obamacare. It's Anthem Blue Cross. Like, it's a major company, but it's part of the marketplace, the pool. That's why the prices come down a little bit. But because, you know, I make a living, it's not free to me. Some people it is, and that's great. Or it's really affordable because they're not making much. But yeah, then you have a whole other problem with your lifestyle. If you only make $25,000 a year, then you can afford, you know, you can qualify for free or reduced. But yeah, then you're still only making $25,000 a year and trying to support yourself and your kids or whatever else. So now the whole system is screwed. So gutting it and starting over with no actual plan in place is a terrible idea.
Yeah. And hopefully that's not going to happen. I mean, you heard it here. He's not going to do it. He said he's not going to do it. So.
Yeah. My new solace, by the way, besides Trump having officially less than 50% of the vote, which I'll tell you, that video we posted is pissing off so many MAGA people that don't understand math. It's freaking hilarious to me.
Yes. I think I call it Meganomics they don't understand anything that goes against the MAGA world. They can't compute.
They can't accept math. You know, I had to explain to several people that more than and majority are not the same thing. In other words, yes, Trump got more votes than Kamala Harris, correct. But a majority is 50.1% or more. That's correct. The majority of any group. So he's currently at 49.9% and may even drop down another notch. So he does not have 50.1 or more. So did Kamala get the majority of votes? No. The assertion we made and that others are making is that the majority of America voted for somebody besides Donald Trump, and that is a factually accurate statement. It's driving them crazy. I had one guy try to tell me that, no, Trump got 3% more of the vote than Kamala because he was looking at her 74 million and his 77 million. That's a 3% gap. You're discounting the 2.5 million third party votes.
Yes.
And I called this guy out on it. He's like, oh, well, I tipped them out of the math because that's statistically irrelevant. 2 points. No, it's not. First of all, those are 2.5 million votes that you're trying to throw out for the party that's claiming voter fraud and wants every vote counted, as obviously we should. So you got to count every vote if you want to do a math formula and figure out the number of percentage of votes. Can't throw out 2.5 million. And by the way, that 2.5 million represents 1.7% of the overall vote. Trump's only winning by 1.5%. So if 1.7% is statistically irrelevant, then Trump's margin of victory is statistically irrelevant. And we basically tied. Is that what you're saying, MAGA? We tied?
That's just a mic drop. I mean, you can't argue with that unless you're an idiot. I mean, it's math, okay?
That was such a MAGA thing to say to me, that if you let me change the facts, then I'm right.
Yeah,
that is how you people think. So there's that. The other solace, though, that I'm taking of late is because Trump has been taking so many people out of Congress, out of the House of Representatives, they are basically down to a 2-seat margin over the Democrats. 2 votes.
Yes. That can be swayed, by the way.
Oh, heck yeah, it can be swayed. If Musk and Ramaswamy are going to propose crazy cuts to Social Security or, you know, Veterans Affairs programs, all you need are 2 Republicans to realize that's not a good idea and they won't get it passed. And that's pretty actually easy. They had something like, a 40-seat majority and couldn't get everyone on the same page. So all you have to do now is lose 2 people and you're not getting any law passed. That there is some real solace in that.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great point to bring up because that's more than likely that 2 votes. I mean, if it's a ridiculous, ridiculous idea, yeah, it's not getting passed, which, yeah, that does make me feel a little bit better. But once again, we're back to relying on Republicans. And I guess what we have to wonder is, are you part of the MAGA Party or the Republican Party?
Yes. I can only hope that some Republicans are going to wake up to the reality that Trump's only got one more term. I pray to God they're not going to let him somehow rewrite the Constitution. That would take a two-thirds majority. They don't have that. So this should be his last term. Should be, I'm saying. Yeah. So hopefully some of them realize, like, you know what? We don't have to bend over backwards for this man. He's going to be gone in a few years. He needs us right now more than we need him. So hopefully that reality starts to settle in with at least two or three of them. I think that's reasonable to hope for.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it is a little scary just putting all your money on the back of two Republicans. So,
need to know news. News you need to know.
Indeed. I have so many news stories and we have so little time. What do I do? Let's talk about Trump making money off the White House, because every president in the history of our country that has any sort of business has divested themselves or stepped away from it. There's the famous story of Jimmy Carter selling his freaking peanut farm because he thought it would be corrupt and, you know, look wrong for a president to have an active business that he can make money off of while he's sitting in the White House.
This is what I'm confused on, though, because was that formally required, or was it just kind of the thing that people did because it was right?
It's the norm. It's what people did because it was the right thing to do. And like so many things we're discovering, like the founding fathers put things in place assuming we're never going to have a president that would pardon himself. Like we don't even need to write that in, that he can't pardon himself, because no president would ever do that. And if he did, obviously he'd be held accountable and would be impeached. But no. All those sorts of norms are completely gone. And yeah, this is another one. Presidents didn't ever have active businesses while they served. And Trump, when he ran in 2016, said that he would step away from his companies because he understood that that principle was in place. And he didn't do it the first time. And now he's got even more businesses going on, is making even more money off of his name, and he's going back into the White House. And yes, people are starting to ask, gee, what are you going to do? Are you going to step down? I freaking doubt that. So two articles here. One, when President-elect Donald Trump returns to the White House next year, he'll do so with an even more sprawling business empire and far fewer promises about how he's going to avoid any conflicts of interest. Well, Trump was primarily a real estate developer in his first term, and that was even debatable, by the way. He licensed his name to most of these properties that his name is on, but okay, sure, he was a real estate guy. But now he's expanded dramatically into new industries, including big ones like social media and cryptocurrency, not to mention a bunch of other swag shit. The president has only further raised his profile and drawn more speculation with all of these other things like his NFTs or his guitars or, I mean, it just the long list of swag he's out there promoting.
Do you see the latest, which just killed me?
The cologne and perfume?
Yes, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Well, we know what Trump smells like based off lots of accounts. Like, I just wonder what that smells like.
Oh, yes. So Kirsten Welker asked him about this. He, of course, dodged it. So I don't even know how you would do that. I'm not involved in any of these businesses. I mean, obviously, he's making money off of them. He said again that he's not going to take a salary as president. But trust me, that's chump change compared to what he is making off of being the president. And yeah, the guitars was his latest thing, which I don't know if you saw, but Gibson gave him a cease and desist order because those tacky guitars look like Les Pauls. So they're trying to stop that. So we'll see. But the new one, President-elect Donald Trump is causing a stink over his new perfume and cologne line called Fight, Fight, Fight.
Oh,
And of course, part of the way he promoted it, he shared a picture of him and Jill Biden at this grand reopening of Notre Dame. And it had a caption that a fragrance even your enemies can't resist, because Jill was like looking over at him.
Giving him googly eyes.
How freaking tacky. I mean, he's sitting in a freaking church that's been remodeled. Yes. He's the guest of a foreign nation. Jill Biden is being nice enough to sit there and not dry heave all over him. And he uses it in a social media campaign to try to make money off of his perfume and cologne, which, by the way, retail from $200 or more. Oh.
Dude, listen, when he tells Kristen Walker, like, I don't even know about these businesses, hey, let's not forget this is a new age of Donald Trump. I think that it took a lot away from Mike Lindell, because he sells products just like Mike Lindell did with MyPillow. He sits and he pitches them on video. It's the new Trump cologne. It's the new Trump sneakers. You know, my NFT cards. He does it like an infomercial. He did the advertising for him.
Of course. And he's got a built-in platform for all of this. And yeah, the point you brought up, that it's been well known for years that Trump stinks. So, you know, obviously everyone's hoping these colognes aren't going to smell anything like him. Former Rep. Adam Kinzinger, Republican, he had previously described Trump's actual body odor as, quote, like armpits, ketchup, makeup, and a little butt. All mixed together.
Yum.
Yes. That's how people describe his body odor. And people have said in a room with him, it's overwhelming. They tear up next to him. So, you know, maybe he could use some cologne for sure.
I disagree, because I'll tell you this. I had a buddy of mine. He smoked cigarettes and I smoke cigarettes. So, you know, the foul smell that someone smells like when they've been smoking cigarettes all day. I had a buddy who every time after he had a cigarette, like he'd spray some cologne on him. And I'll tell you what, that the mixture of cigarettes and cologne is even more foul than just cigarettes. So I think that who would have thought Trump, poopy pants daddy Trump, would have cologne and people would be into it? And then I think to myself, oh, the same people that said, oh, he does shit his pants? Well, real men wear diapers, and started wearing diapers to his rallies. Like, all these people are going to buy it.
Yeah. I mean, cologne is a cheap, easy product to be marketing and selling when you've got a platform like he does. And I don't know, maybe someone smart enough to figure out what balances out the smell of butt and ketchup and armpits and stuff. Maybe together it'll make a beautiful bouquet for your nose.
Fight. My God, dude.
Right. So, of course, he's not going to divest from any of this stuff and conflicts of interest. As we've all known, by the way, almost all of that mega merchandise is made in China. Is he going to put tariffs on his own stuff coming in from China? There are Trump stores all over this country. There's one down the street from my freaking house. Are these people realizing that their cheap mega crap is now going to have a tariff on it?
I don't think they are. They think everything's about to be cheaper, dude. So they aren't reading with all the major economists. They're not listening. They're just listening to poop pants daddy.
Right. Who did in that interview, by the way, said he can't guarantee anything, including prices going up because of his tariffs. So is he starting to realize, like, maybe. Did someone explain to him that someone's got to pay for this stuff? It's not going to be China.
I think the move they're all going to now, including Trump with the tariff talk and Elon Musk with gutting the system, is saying now, like, yeah, might hurt a little bit at first, but, like, it's going to get better. And, yeah, you've only got 4 years, dude. So to say, like, it's going to hurt a little bit at first, that's 4 years. And then you're done and out of the game. You're fine.
Yeah. It's going to hurt for quite a while. You know, clock's ticking. We'll see what goes on. But everyone is promising a lot of these key things are going to be day one initiatives, including the mass deportations, including the tariffs, what he will or won't do with TikTok. Like, there's a lot of stuff on day one that he's saying is going to happen. So we shouldn't have to wait too long to see if promises made will be promises kept, or if someone's going to tap him on the shoulder and explain some of these things are terrible ideas. You don't owe any of your cult members anything anymore. You already won. So why don't you maybe do what might actually look good for you in the long run? We'll see.
Yeah, maybe you want to have one last attempt at getting into the pearly gates.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, but who knows? Is he Catholic? Can he repent to the last minute? Isn't he Christian? I don't think he's
Presbyterian, dude. He's not Catholic. Don't ever lump him with people I love.
Okay. Of course. Sorry about that.
All right.
Wrap it up for this edition.
It will. See, our social medias are online now, and they're famous. If you go check them out, you'll make them even more famous. TikTok, we got Threads, we're on, Facebook, we're on Blue Sky, we're on Reddit, Instagram.
Yeah. We're on them, so go find them. And we do have a comment line. If you want to call us and leave us a voicemail, we'll play you on the show here. It's 844-48-VOCAL. That does require you using your telephone as an actual microphone and calling us, but we encourage you to do so.
And thanks for joining the podcast. We'll see you next time.
Hi, everybody. It's Elon Musk. You're listening to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. These guys are great. I'm not used to saying something is great with minority in the title. Felt weird, but I'm going with it for these boys. Nick and Steve, two new podcasts a week.